Today she is Masechta Chulin Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud, the Mishnah. Our Mishnah now, till now, we've been learning in our Sugyas, the halachas of treifas by animals. We now begin to discuss birds, Eilu treifas b'ayif. And actually, as we begin to learn our Mishnah, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, as we're going to see in the Gemara mentions it a number of times, the halacha actually is that the treifas of a bird and the treifas of an animal are very similar. And therefore, the Rishonim ask, once we know this rule that the treifas of a bird and the treifas of an animal are so very similar, why does the Mishnah in this Mishnah have to specify which are the treifas of an oif? Shouldn't we just know from the halachas of an animal? And therefore, as we learn the Mishnah and the Gemara, we're going to see that although the rule is, as we just stated, that the treifas of birds and animals are similar, there are differences as well. And those differences are highlighted or to be understood by learning our Mishnah. So says our Mishnah, Ve'elu treifas b'oif, these are the treifas by a bird. Nekuvas haveshet, if the veshet is punctured, or psukas hagageris, the kona is severed. So as the Rishonim explained, the reason the Mishnah has to teach us this halacha, even though this is the same halacha by an animal, so the Rishonim explain, but since we know the vitality of a bird is so much weaker than the vitality of an animal, and we would therefore think that although a puncture in the kona does not make an animal a treifa, we would think perhaps it does make a bird a treifa, and there's a strong reason to think so, because as we know that by an animal, the Mishnah taught us, we have to shech two simonim for it to be a kosher shechita. By a bird, only one simon has to be cut. Therefore, we would very much think that by an animal, that by a bird, maybe a nekuva, a hole in the kana, makes the bird treif. That's why it teaches us our Mishnah that no, the halacha by a bird is the same as it is by an animal. That's one approach I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach that I saw in the Rishonim is that the bird, we learned, is a question, if the shechita l'oif min haTorah, is there an obligation to shecht an oif? And there is an opinion that says, ain't shechita l'oif min haTorah, that there is no reason to shecht an oif midaraisa. And since there's no chiyuv to shecht a bird midaraisa, we would think that the halachas regarding the veshir and the kana of a bird ought to be different than the halachas of the veshir and the kana of a animal, teaches us the Mishnah that their halachas are actually the same. Hiksa chulda roisha, if it was hit by a weasel on its head, makam sh'oisa treifa, and the place that it makes it a treifa, that means it punctured the skull, that's when it's a treifa. And here too, the Mefarshim explain that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that we treat a bird, even though, as we're going to learn, it has such weak membranes around its brain, that we would think that just a puncture of the skull will make the bird a treifa, teaches us the Mishnah that no, that it has to have a puncture in the membrane. We will learn in the Gemara Mitzvashem, and there is one exception to this, and that is the Oif Shamayim, that there the halacha is a puncture in the skull does make the bird a treifa. Of course, the Rishonim point out that here we're speaking about where the cholder punctured the skull of the bird. If the cholder attacked and clawed the bird, we already learned earlier in our parak that would make the yesh drusa b'cholda by an oif, and that would make the bird a treifa. We would have to do an examination, whatever the halacha is by a drusa. Furthermore, the chroinim debate if this halacha is set strictly by a cholda, or does this halacha apply by other birds as well. The Taurus Chaim says it applies by all different types of ways that got a concussion on the brain. Neither Behuda seems to learn that it only applies by a chulda. The Chasam Sofer has an interesting approach. The Chasam Sofer's approach is that it applies that if a bird was attacked by a chulda, we have to do an examination to see if something happened to the membrane around the head. If it was attacked, however, by other, if it was attacked by other things, then the bedikah would not be required. Nikav ha-kurkavin, if the kurkavin was, the kurkavin is the gizzard, if the gizzard was punctured, and as the Rishayim explained, the reason the Mishnah had mentioned this case is because an animal doesn't have a kurkavin. The question that the Rishayim discuss is to which organ does the kurkavin correspond? Some say it corresponds to the keres, others say it responds to the keres apnimi, others Rishayim say it corresponds to the hemsis, others in fact say it's the basic isis. Nikvu hadakin, if there's a puncture in the intestines, and as the Mefarshim explained, the reason the Mishnah had to speak about a puncture in the intestines is either to teach us the next halacha about the intestines being burned. Others say that the reason it's teaching us this halacha is because we're going to learn further in our shiur today that if the dakin are, if the intestines are outside of the animal's body, then the animal is kosher. So he was saying that that's only if they're outside of the body, but if they are punctured, it's treif. Another pshat, the reason how to mention this, is because we learned earlier in our Masechta that the halacha is that if the coils, if the layers of the intestines, even if there's a puncture in one of the intestines of an animal, but if those layers are on top of each other, they could serve as an effective covering of those holes. So say the Rishonim, that's strictly a halacha by an animal, but our Mishnah is teaching us that would not be the halacha by a bird. Neflu l'or, v'nechmur b'nei me'ayah, if the animal fell into fire and its internal organs were scorched. Im yirukim, if they're green, that means if there's a organ which is normally red and it turns green, psulim. In Medumim, if they remain red, they are kosher. It is the opinion of most Rishonim, as explained by the Achronim, that even if they turn a different shade of red, the halacha is that the bird will remain kosher. Although I did see an interesting Chasam Sofer that says that if they stay the same shade of red, then they're completely kosher. If they don't stay the same shade of red, then a bedika would be required. And here is a very important machloikus rishonim. If the halacha that was saying about an animal being burnt, the insides of an animal of a bird being burnt, makes a treif, will the same halacha apply by animals? The Rambam seems to learn that this halacha only applies by birds, not by animals. Because the way the Rosh explains the opinion of the Rambam is that since animals are much more, have a thicker hide, they are better protected from fire. That is the opinion of the Rambam. However, the opinion of the Ravid is that this is a treifa by birds as much as it is a treifa, but it's a treifa by animals as much as it is by birds. The reason it's only mentioned by birds is for two reasons. Either because it's more likely to happen by birds than by animals, or by an animal, by the time the animal is burnt to such a degree that its intestines are scorched, it will not survive. It will certainly be treif. Another nafkamina that the Itur makes is that if a bird comes in contact with fire, we have to assume that Nechmer may of, and therefore it may not be eaten unless we examine the intestines and find them to be the proper color, whereas an animal doesn't have to be examined even if it came in contact with fire, because we don't have to necessarily assume that the fire will have affected its intestines. Darsof, the tarf of the kosel, if one stamped on a bird or one knocked it against the wall, a sharitzit of the hema, or if an animal crushed it, umefarcheses, and it's still mefarches, v'shas meislais, and it survives 24 hours, and as we learned, it has to survive 24 hours. And if it didn't survive the 24 hours, then if you shecht it before, you're not allowed to eat it. Furthermore, the halacha is that even if it survives the 24 hours, you have to be bidik it. And if the bidika turns out to be fine, then the halacha is that it's kshera, that we consider the bird kosher. And as the Rishonim points out, this trefa that we just mentioned, when it was stamped upon or knocked against the wall, is what is known in our previous shiurim when we spoke about trefus of an animal as a nefula. The reason our Mishnah says the Ramban doesn't speak about a nefula is because there was no need to mention because a nefula is not as common by a bird as it is by an animal. Because as the Ramban explains, since the bird has wings, if somebody tries to throw the bird down, it will pick itself up with its wings, or will use the wings to soften the landing. And therefore, says the Ramban, in a case where the bird is tied, and therefore it can't soften its landing because its hands and feet are tied, perhaps the issue of nefula would actually be applicable. In fact, the Paiskim, there's a tshuva in the Shailos HaTshuvos Tovim of Misharim from the Shebina Rav, discuss the issue, which happens, unfortunately, sometimes in slaughterhouses, that when birds are delivered in crates, so the question is, and those crates are not carefully put down, but they're thrown with the birds in them, should we be concerned about them being a nefula? On one hand, we could suggest that since the wings and feet are not tied, they should not be considered a nefula. On the other hand, we just explained the reason we don't have a concern for nefula is because the animal softens its landing by flapping its wings. Here, when they're in the crate, they don't have that ability. On the other hand, the Pesukim can say that because they're together in one crate, so the birds so to speak, bang against each other, and that softens their landing. La halacha, the Shebina Rav says, one should be very careful in not throwing the crates in which the birds are in, because then you would have an issue of a nefula, you wouldn't be allowed to shecht the bird for 24 hours, and you may even have to do a bedika. So the Gemara, the Mishnah discussed a situation where the animal, where the bird, the brain was punctured by a chuldah. And now the question is, how do we investigate if the membrane around the brain was punctured? So says Rabbi Shmuel V'Levi de Amri, Machnas Yod L'Fnim V'Boidit. One should put his finger inside the mouth of the animal, push it up all the way, and by pushing up all the way, Im Mitzavtzes V'Oila, if brain matter comes out of the skull, trefa, that's a proof that the membranes around the brain have been punctured, b'mlav, otherwise it's kshera. Says the Gemara, hanicha l'man domar adin menkev kar matato. According to the opinion that the bird is treif, only if both membranes around the brain are punctured, we could understand the validity of this test. El l'man domar inkiv ilo. According to the opinion that as long as there's a puncture in the upper membrane, even if there is no puncture in the lower membrane, the animal is already a treifa nechesh. Why, even if there won't be any brain matter coming out through this test, why should we not be concerned? Asked the Gemara. Nechesh duma eloi inkif tatala inkif. The animal is really treif. The bird is really treif because the upper membrane has been punctured. The reason there's no brain matter coming out is because it's the lower membrane that's protecting it. Answers the Gemara. Im Isa, the inkev alah. If indeed the situation here is that the upper membrane was punctured, tata agav rukeche, the lower membrane, since it's so soft, mitkapaka would certainly burst and would rupture. And therefore, certainly, we need not be concerned that we won't be able to get a true reading. Continues the Gemara. Amaziri, ein bedikel cholda. A bird that was bitten by a cholda is not a valid bedika, because the weasel's teeth are thin, and therefore, even if the membrane was punctured, maybe nothing will come out because of the thinness of the punctures. Ask the Gemara, even if the teeth are so thin, still, if we're going to go through this test and try to push up the brain matter, it will come out. Amar of Oishia, what Ziri meant was, it's not just that they're thin, they're also curved. So since they're not straight, they don't necessarily, the hole is not the type of hole, the pressure that we'll put won't cause the brain matter from escaping. However, says the Gemara, Kisolik l'Nadah, when Ziri came to Nadah, that's an interesting word from the Meretz Chayes. We know that typically the Gemara, when it speaks about somebody going from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, uses the words Kisolik, because Eretz Yisrael was higher than Babel. But here we're speaking about in Babel itself. So ask the Meretz Chayes, how does the Gemara use the word Kisolik? Said the Meretz Chayes, interestingly, that in Babel, Nahadol was in the country of Babel, where there was a city of Babel. And the city of Babel was lower than the city of Nahadol. And therefore, when somebody was traveling from Babel to Nahadol, it also was a situation of Solik, of him traveling upwards, going up. Kisolik Nahadol, when he went to Nahadol, he said to them, Devarim shematilchem, what I said is incorrect. For we learned in the name of Resh Lakish, we could do an effective examination with the fingers, as we just explained, by pushing the brain matter up. We can't use a nail. That one shouldn't take a nail along the membrane and examine if there's any punction, because that itself may make a puncture. Rabbi Yochanan says, after Masomer, we could even do that. We're not worrying that the nail will make a puncture. So the Mefarshim explain. Now we can understand the wording of Ziri. The Gemara didn't say Ziri Omar. If the Gemara uses the word Ziri Omar, that means that Ziri was aware what the other opinions were, and Ziri Omar, he says, I disagree. Rather, what happened over here was that Omar Ziri. Ziri made his own statement, not being aware of what the other opinions held. When he became aware of what the other opinions held, he realized that he made a mistake, and he said, Tosein Biyode, I made a mistake, there is a way. We're making an examination. And the Gemara says, Uva Plukta, this machloikis of how to do this examination actually is connected to machloikis tanon, to Yehuda Reb Nechemya. Chad Badik Biyada, one would examine the skull of a bird that was bitten by a weasel with his fingers, with his hands, the Chad Badik B'machta, and one would use the needle. And says the Gemara, Man the bodik biyada, the one that would use the hands, amle leman the bodik b'machta, would say to the one that examined it with a needle, ad masai atem mechala amonim she Yisrael, until when are you causing Jewish money to go to waste? Because there's a real concern that you're going to, by using the needle, cause the membrane to get a puncture that wasn't there previously. Now you'll see a punctured membrane, and you'll therefore have to assume that the bird is treif, but it really wasn't treif, it was you who made the puncture. Amalei man de bodik b'machta, leman de bodik b'yada. So the one that says that you could use a needle says to one that uses the hands, and masei atamachal Yisrael nevelus. Yes, it would be great not to have to use the needle, but just using the hand is not an effective bedika, and therefore we have no choice. But ask the Gemara, why did he say atamachal Yisrael nevelus? Nevelus v'shchutehi. We know that even when we shecht an animal or a bird that's a treifa, so we're not allowed to eat it. It's a treifa. But it is a nevela, but it's not a nevela. Says the Gemara, what he meant was ad masa atamachli yisrael treifas shemanik of krum shemaych. Maybe he was punctured, and this test of using the finger or pushing it off is not a valid test because the hole is on a curve. The Mefarshim point out that actually the Gemara says that the machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish corresponds to the machloikis of Yehuda and Nechemya. It's not really accurate because Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that you could only use a mesamer. Rabbi Yochanan says you could use apa mesamer. Here we have Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Yehuda, one saying that only a needle is effective, and one is saying only the hand should be used. But here we seem to say not like that. So one pshat that I saw is that everybody agrees that according to the first pshat that you could use the hand. The question is that you could use a needle. The only question is, must you use a needle? So then Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is consistent with that. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is consistent with that. Or the Meretz Chayis suggests that we're going to actually have to explain that according to Rabbi Yochanan, when he said after mesamer, he means only with a mesamer, any other way would not be effective. And there's a very good reason to say that that's pshat, because as we're learning now, the mesamer comes with its risks. If Rabbi Yochanan did not hold that you have to use a mesamer, he would have never have suggested that a mesamer should be used. Says the Gemara, Testayim de Yehuda hu debad de biyada. It makes sense to say that it's a Yehuda that held that you should use the hands to do this examination. The Tanya, Rav Shimon was a Mishim Yehuda, Boikin l'chol de biyad avalai b'masamer, who used the hand and not the masamer. Nishbar ha'etzem, and then he makes another statement, which we'll discuss in a second. If the skull is broken, apish le'nikav krum shlamayach, even though the membrane has not been punctured, the bird is treif. We'll discuss this in a moment. But here we clearly see that it is Rabbi Yehuda who holds that we use the hand, to stayim, and it must be Rabbi Nechemya who said that you use the needle. But ask the Gemara, it's difficult to understand what we just learned in this braisa. Hagufa kasha. Marat, first we said, Bodkin l'chol d'biyad, avaloi b'masamer. First we said that we should use the hand and not a nail. Alma, but it's clear that this braisa is of the opinion the Islam de Kusar, there is a way to do an examination to see if it's a treif or not. V'hadatani, and yet this very braisa then says, Nishbar etzem apishlai nikav krum shlamayach, that if the skull is broken, even if the membrane has not been punctured, the bird is treif. Alma, less libid de Kusar, there's no way of examining. As soon as the skull is broken, we have to consider the animal treif, the bird treif. Answers the Gemara, Seif osam of shamayim. The Seif is speaking about a bird fowl, a special type of fowl, that there, hoil of enloi krum, since it has no membrane, just a broken skull makes a treif. Ask the Gemara, enloi krum salkatatach, can we say that there's any brain that doesn't have a membrane around it? Ela for krumarach. It has a very soft membrane, and since it has a very soft membrane, that's why as soon as the skull is broken, it's considered a treifa. The Noi de Behuda discusses, what is the issue that we say because it has such a soft membrane, must we be machmer? Is pshat that because it has such a soft membrane, we need to be concerned that the membrane will certainly be punctured? Or is the way to understand pshat that since it has this very soft membrane, the very soft membrane, that therefore the membrane is not considered the protector of the brain, but rather what is the protector of the brain? The protector of the brain is the skull, and therefore the skull has the same rule that normally the membrane has, and therefore as soon as the skull has a puncture, it's as if the membrane has a puncture. Two ways of understanding the krum of an oif, the krum of an oif shamayim. Similar Gemara. Amlay Rav Nachman Rav Avin. Mar Amar Shmuel Badek B'yada Mashur. Shmuel, you do this examination with the hand by pressing up. The Huna Chavron Amar Rav Badek B'yada Mashur. So did he say? Ask the Gemara for Tani Levi Treifah Shemano Chachomim V'Behema Kenegim Ba'Oif. And we said at the beginning of the Shir, whatever is a treif by an animal is treif by an oif. Yes, or an oif. But a bird has one more type of a treif, which is nishbar etzim, apishlei nikim krum shlomayach. So here again we see that as soon as the skull is punctured, it's treif, even if the membrane is not. Unlike to which he responded, hahu ba'oif shlomayim, that was speaking about this bird of water, however enle krum. Ask the Gemara again, enle krum sakataitach, can we say that it has no membrane? Again, says the Gemara, the same test we said a moment ago, Hoyle the Krumarach. Hahui Tana Goyle the Havve Rav Chana. Similar Gemara. There was a chicken in the home of Rav Chana. Shadr Lekameid Rav Masna, which was sent with a shayel to Rav Masna. Nishbar Etzen, if the skull was punctured, Vlay Nikav Krum Shlomayach Mai, without a puncture in the membrane, what is the halacha? V'achshira. And he said that it's kosher. Omle V'atani Levi Trev Shemar Kacham Behema Kenegn Ba'oif. Whatever the halacha by an animal, so is the halacha by a bird. Yes, elayna oif. But a bird has another case that nishbar etzem, if the skull is broken, apishloi nikav krum shamayach, even though the membrane of the is not punctured. Amalei hasan ba'oif shamayim ha'ave enle krum. They're talking about oif shamayim that doesn't have a krum. Again, ask the Gemara. Enle krum sakadatach. Can we say that it doesn't have a krum? El says the Gemara ha'ave krum arach. It has a soft krum. Says the Gemara. Rav Shizvi Badik B'Shimsha. Rav Shizvi, the way he did the examination was that he would take carefully off the membrane from the head and put it up against the sun. The Mefarshim explain why would somebody want to do this much more complicated type of examination. So the Mefarshim explain, because since we're concerned, as we mentioned earlier, that when you push your finger up, given that the lower membrane is so fragile, you're going to puncture it, even if it wasn't previously punctured, to avoid, and therefore the bird will be treif, to avoid that, they carefully peeled off both layers, put it up against the sun, and therefore didn't have the concern that by doing this they punctured the lower membrane. Rav Yirmiya Badek B'Maya. What would he do? He would remove all the brain matter through the bird's mouth, pull it into and then fill the empty skull with water. If it came out through the skull, it was a proof that it had a hole in it. Another way, and if not, we see that it's fine. Another way he would do it is, he would pour water on top of the skull. By pouring water on top of the skull, if there was gray matter, the water would get cloudy. If not, it was fine. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Badek B'Gila D'Chitza, he would use a piece of straw. Rather than using a nail or a needle which could puncture, he would use straw which would get snagged, but because it wasn't as sharp as a nail or a needle, it wouldn't make a treif. Amar Shizvi, Hani Avzu D'Don, Arrow Geese, Ka'oif Shamayim Damyin, are considered like Oif Shamayim, that as soon as there's a puncture in the skull, even though there's no puncture in the membrane, it's considered treif. There's a machloikis. How do we understand what the Gemara means by these avzim? Does the Gemara mean all avzim have it din like this, or is it specifically those geese that were there in those times? Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, nafla la'or, if the bird fell into fire and the organs turned green, the halacha is that the animal is treif. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishnah Rav Yosef and Yeshua, Shir Yerukuson Kishir Nekuvason. Whatever would be considered enough of a puncture to make the bird treif, so too, if that much area turned green, the halacha is that the animal is a treif. And as the Rishonim explained, even if the place where it turns green is not necessarily a place that will make the animal treif, here, once part of the organ becomes green, we need to be concerned that that will affect the rest of the organ. Bar minei Rav Yosef Reidu Shuban Levi Meshuban Levi Hariku Kovid Kenega minei Ma'ayin. If the liver turned green next to the area of the intestines, Mahu. What will be the halacha? Amalei Treifa. The halacha is that that bird is a treifa. Ask the Gemara, V'loye Nitla. Why is it worse than if it was removed? And as we've discussed many times, if part of the liver was removed, and we'll have to assume that the Gemara here is speaking about that part of the liver that that was removed turned green. The Gemara is saying that it's treif, but why turning green is any worse than it becoming removed? Amar Rava, to which Rava responds, Kivin Shiriku Kovit Knegu Ma'ayim, since the area next to the intestines turned green, B'yudua Shal Naflu L'Or, that is a clear indication that this is a bird that fell into the fire, and if the liver turned green, certainly Nechbu Ma'ayim, that the intestines were burnt, and that's why the animal is considered a treifa. There's a machloikis in the Rishonim, we're going to speak soon about doing the test. And the question is, what does the Gemara mean here? Does the Gemara mean to say here that we assume the Mnei Ma'ayim are treif under all circumstances? Or is the Gemara to be understood that if we don't have the Mnei Ma'ayim available to us, then we have to consider the treif? But if we have the Mnei Ma'ayim in front of us, then we have to then, and we do the test that we're going to speak about in a moment, and it turns out that the intestines turn out to be fine, the halacha is that the bird will not be treif. Says the Gemara, Rishu ben Levi havlei hi tana goyos. Rishu ben Levi had a bird, shadri l'kamei, that had been burnt in fire, shadri l'kamei d'rebeleza kfar baribi, omle yirukin hava. He said the intestines are green, and he said the kosher. Ask the Gemara, it doesn't make any sense. V'anantanan, have we not just learned in our Mishnah that Yerukin, that if the intestines turn green, psulin, the bird is treif? Answers the Gemara, v'yomru Yerukin psulin. When do we say that if they turn green, it's pasul? It's only the kurkavin, the lave, and the kovid. Since they are normally red, if they turn green, that's when the halacha is that it's treif. But if it's not, but if it's an organ which is normally green, as these organs are, there's no question. So Mefarshim asks, isn't this so obvious that if that's their natural color, why would it be treif? Nothing changed here. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat, going back to something we discussed when we learned in the Mishnah, that it changed the shade of green. They turned greener than they normally were. And the Gemara is teaching us that as long as it's green, it doesn't make a difference that they're greener than normal. Another pshat is that in Halacha, and we find this concept, particularly in Hilchos Nida, there are actually two shades of green. Because what we know as green is called green. Also, yellow is green. And here what happened was that normally the right color is a greenish color. Here they turned yellow and said, Rav Elazar Kfar, since the Halacha considers yellow to be in the family of green, that's why it's still considered its natural color and it's not treif. And that was the chiddush of what happened here. Let's continue the Gemara. Tanya Nami Halchi, Be'ele B'nei Mayim Amru. When do we say that organs that turn green are treif? The korkuvin, the lay, or the kofet. Says the Gemara. The Yitzchak Havlai Vutan Golta, he had a chicken that had been burnt in fire. Shadr Lekamei Deravur, Vamalei Adum Hava. They're red, the tarfa. Ask the Gemara, Vanantanan, have we not learned in our Mishnah that Adumim, if they're red, the Ksherim? Amalei, to which he responded, Adumim Shihiriku, the Yerukin Shedimu. The halacha is, it depends on a change of color. So if red becomes green, or green becomes red, the treifa. By Amra Adumim Ksheira, the only time Chazal said that red is fine is the lay, b'korkin, and b'kaved, by the heart, and by the gizzard, and by the liver, because they're always red, always red. The Mefarshim discuss what is the halacha regarding the lung. The lung is normally red, and there is no reason to be concerned when the lung fell on fire, because we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow, Shir, that they are protected by the ribs. Continues the Gemara. Amra Shom Bar Chi Amra Mani Adumi Shehuriku. If the red organs turn green because of scorching, the shulkan, and then they were cooked. Usually, throughout Shas, when the Gemara uses the word shulkan, it means cooked a lot. Many Rishonim here say that shulkan doesn't mean excessive cooking. Regular cooking is enough. The chazur v'adimu, and then they turn red again, sherim. Then the kosher. My tama, because we say the fact that they became green was only kitru ayabahu, because they absorbed smoke, not because they were actually burnt. Actually, the Paiskim discuss, we have to be very careful when we want to examine a liver this way. Because we know that once you cook a liver, you can't eat it because it absorbs the blood. So therefore, they give two explanations. Either the liver should be cut, and then you're allowed to cook the liver, or what you should do is broil the liver. And since if you broil the liver, then that will not be a problem with the blood of the liver. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Af Anan Noimer. We will say the same thing the other way around. Adamim Shelo Hiriku. If red organs do not turn green, the Shulkan V'Hiriku. But if you cook them, and by cooking them they turn green, treifa. My tama. Because Igal Gav Asayu, really what happened, their shame has been revealed. What happened was that they really got this color. And therefore, since they got this color, they're treif. Now they turn back to original color. It was only the smoke that covered up that discoloration, but the bird is really treif. Omer, Ravashi, says Ravashi, Hilkach, like Lechel Inish El Bishloka. A person should not eat a bird until he does the boiling test to see if the internal organs were affected. Says the Gemara, V'loihi, but Rav Ashi is incorrect. V'chzuki reyes loy machzikina. If we have no reason to think there's something wrong, we don't have to do anything. And as the Ra'ah explains, Avada Rav Ashi agrees that if we have a bird that didn't fall into the fire, and we now have this bird, we have no reason to start doing tests to be concerned that its organs were burnt. There's no reason to have to do that. What Rav Ashi means, says the Ra'ah, is that when we had a bird that did fall into the fire, but we don't really see anything happen to it, so we hold that nothing has to be done, whereas Rav Ashi says as soon as the bird falls into fire, we automatically have to go through this test. Says the Gemara, Dars of a tarf of a kosel, if it was backed against the wall or was stepped upon, then if it remained alive 24 hours, it's fine. Otherwise, we can't shecht it for 24 hours. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Elazar ben Antignus, Mishim Rav Yanai, Echazu v'echazah p'treif b'dika. Even if the bird survives for 24 hours, as we said when we learned the Mishnah, b'dika is still required. It's interesting to point out that Rashi says that we have to inspect the spinal cord. And there's a question, how to understand what Rashi means. Does Rashi mean that the only inspection required is along the spinal cord? Or does the entire bird all the internal organs have to be checked, not just the spinal cord? Continues the Mishnah. Ve'el k'sheres b'yis. The following things are kosher by bird. Nikva ha'gegeres ha'shenizdaga. If the trachea was punctured or split down the length, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, if the split is along the length of the trachea, it's not treif. If the membrane wasn't punctured, niket hazakfes, the crap on a bird, the esophagus leads to a pouch where the bird is digested, that if it's punctured, then it's nikva hazakfes. If it was punctured, even if it was removed, the bird remains kosher. However, the Rishonim say that some of it has to remain so that the food should be able to go from there on to the kurkovin. If the entire zefek of a bird is missing, there's no way that food could go on to the zefek and then the bird would be a treifa. Yotz b'nei me'eho, if the intestines came out, but they weren't punctured. Machlokes Rishonim. What is the halacha? Does the halacha mean that you could shecht the bird even though the intestines are outside? Or does the Mishnah mean that even though the intestines went inside, but once they went back in, as we'll discuss in the Gemara, then you could shecht them and be kosher? But not to say that you could shecht the bird while the intestines are outside of the animal. Nishtabru gafel, if the wings were broken, nishtabru galel, if its legs were broken, nimru knafel, if the large feathers that covered the bird's body were removed, Rav Yehuda Omer nitlo hanoitza, if the down is the soft feathers that cover the bird's skin, that is like a gluda, we spoke about it in the previous shurim, and he says that will make the bird trace. Tanabon, Masver Simoy Rav Tzadik Shaochol Abba Shana B'Loid. They went to be Ma'abra the Shana in Loid. The Shafs of Oino, and they stayed in the city of Oino. For Hayar B'Tarfefes Rebbe B'Zefet. And they ruled regarding the uterus the same way Rebbe Paskin regarding the Zefet. So Gemara doesn't understand what does this mean. Ibailu doesn't mean Hayar B'Tarfefes Li Sura, that they said that if the uterus is missing, the bird, the animal's treif, k'rebi b'zefek la'teira, just like Rebbe said that if the crap is moved, the zefek is removed of a bird, it's kosher. What they were saying is the zefek being removed is kosher, the tarfachas being removed is treif. Aduma, hayr b'tarfachas la'teira, Rebbe b'zefek. They pass him by tarfachas that it's mutter, just like Rebbe said that if the zefek is removed, it's mutter. So too did they say the tarfachas is removed, it's mutter. Avak Rebbe b'zefek, but they won't necessarily agree with what Rebbe held by the zefek. They won't agree that a missing zefek, the bird is still kosher, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. And there's a beautiful pshat in the Mefarshim on this Gemara, because and it speaks to the entire issues that we've been discussing. The first opinion, the first understanding of what their psak was saying is that if the tarfach, that if the uterus is missing, the bird, the animal, is still kosher. Which, as we learned, and it's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, is actually the opinion of Rav Tarfon. But interestingly, the Gemara over there says that they had a very difficult time accepting Rav Tarfon's psak, because the Gemara said that every horse that was sent from Egypt, they first took out the uterus, so they shouldn't be able to breed those horses anywhere but in Egypt. And yet they were certainly strong animals that survived. So the question is, how could Reb Tarfon say that a missing uterus makes a bird, an animal, makes an animal, a bird, treif, when we know that it's very common that they should be removed and the bird and the animal are very healthy? So the Mefarshim explained that's the lesson of this Gemara. How did the Gemara begin? They went to Lod to be Ma'abed Hashanah, to make the year a leap year. Who is the one that decides the year is a leap year? Only the Chazal, only the Chachamim, only the Beis Din have that ability. And the Gemara Masechta Ksubis goes on to teach us that if the year is determined to be a leap year, a girl, until she's 3 years old, even if she had relations with a man, Psalachayim is still considered a virgin. If it's a leap year, then it goes to another year. This is a physical fact. We see from here the physical facts are dependent on what Chazal say and do. Similarly, the lesson we're learning in our Gemara is that even though we could suggest that when we speak about tarfis, it should depend on what we know are the medical facts, it teaches us the Gemara has nothing to do with the medical facts. It has to do with what Chazal teaches us. Amar Rava, Yitam Reb Shimon Levi, Gago Shel Zefek, the upper part of the Zefek, Nidin Kaveshet, is treated like the Veshet, and just like a slightest puncture in the Veshet makes the animal or the bird a Treifa, so too will that be Halacha by this part of the Zefek. Hecha, where exactly is that considered? Amra Bibi Barbaya, Kosh Nimtach Imoy, whatever part of the Zefek tapers toward the esophagus, or when the animal stretches as esophagus, this part stretches along with it, is considered part of the Veshet. Although, points out the Rashba, but even though Al-Gemara is teaching us that it has the din like the Veshet, and if there's a slight puncture in its trait, that isn't to mean, one shouldn't make the mistake, says the Rashba, that just like the halacha is that when you shecht the bird, you shecht on the Veshet, and you could shecht the bird on this area as well, that for that it's not considered like the Veshet. And certainly the Shechita has to be on the Veshet proper, not anywhere else, not on a part that's really part of the Zefek.